Hello. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, church. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship. It's Sunday morning again, 11 o'clock, and it's time to have our online service. So welcome to everyone joining from here in Murrayshire in the northeast of Scotland. Welcome if you're joining wherever. I know we have people from across the rest of Scotland and the UK, and we have people from overseas. So it is really good to have you with us. If you're listening live, welcome. If you're listening during the week, it's great to have you with us. Welcome also. Wonderful to see people joining already. Hopefully more will join as we progress through this service. So welcome. It's good to have you with us. I trust this morning that you're well. I trust that you know that you are blessed and highly favoured and deeply loved. Highly favoured by God the Father, deeply loved by God the Father, and blessed by Him, knowing that you have already received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places through Christ Jesus, knowing that you've already been blessed with all that you need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called you to glory and virtue. Amen. So good to see you. So good to be with you once again. Let's read from the Bible to start off our service this morning. Quite a common passage that I start off with here at MGF. It's Hebrews 10. I'm getting a little bit confused there. I was on Hebrews 11. It's Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast, this is verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. That is something that we've been looking at in their messages about Joshua. For Joshua, God promised so much, and Joshua believed that. Hallelujah. And God was faithful to him in it. And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hallelujah. That word assembling is so much more than just getting together, meeting together. We know that's what the word an assembly means. It's people coming together. But you know what? It also means something else. To assemble means to build up, to take parts and build it and to grow it. You know, you've all, I'm sure, assembled a Lego model in your time. You take the individual pieces, you assemble them together, and you get a big model. Isn't it fantastic to even make Lego for adults these days with Millennium Falcons and things like that? Anyone remember Meccano? Any old guys out there remember Meccano as a kid? Well, that's assembling together. So it's good that we're assembling together this morning. We are gathering around our word across the internet, but we're building each other up. We're assembling ourselves, assembling the church in that way. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray to start with. Pray a welcome and pray a blessing over this meeting. But I also want to pray something in particular. I want to pray over one of my fellow grace ministers, David Nyahanga from Kenya and Kitale Grace Fellowship. David's not well at the moment. He's in hospital with malaria and pneumonia and suspected COVID. So let's pray for our brother, our fellow worker in the ministry, preaching grace over in Kitale. I know he is, because he's received our books and booklets, and he's received teachings on CD. He's a good supporter and participant of our ministry. So let's pray over David as well. So Father, I thank you that we're here this morning. I thank you that we're in this place. Thank you that we've come together to assemble together, to build each other up, to exhort and edify and encourage in these difficult times. Hallelujah. So I thank you that we're here. And I thank you for David, Father. I thank you for his ministry. I thank you that he is in your care, Father. I thank you that you have got good plans for him and more plans for him in Kitale and preaching the grace message. So I speak a blessing over him right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Speak out supernatural healing over him in Jesus' name. And I thank you. I stand on the word. I stand on our agreements that David will come out fit and well and able to continue in his ministry. So we speak that out in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So yes, welcome if you've just joined us. Good to have you with us here at Murray Grace Fellowship. The sun is trying to shine, as Evelyn is saying in her comments there. The sun is trying to shine. It'll be a good day. Amen. Let's start with the word. We're going to look at the word. We will also receive an offering and we'll take communion together in this Sunday service. But let's gather around God's word. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that it's the truth that will set us free, if we know, if we understand. Thank you for these seeds. Thank you that it is these seeds that we can plant in our hearts. Thank you that it is these seeds that will grow in our hearts and produce good fruit from that ground of our heart. But we know that follows understanding. We know there's an enemy trying to steal that word away. So I speak our understanding right now in Jesus' name for all those listening live and those listening later. Understanding so his seeds are not stolen. Understanding so his seeds grow. And understanding so those seeds will produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we all know in the natural that if we want fruit, we have to sow some seeds. We have to plant some seeds. That's just common sense. We all know that. Well, you know what, guys? It's the same with our lives. If we want to see fruit in our lives, we have to plant some seeds. And the seeds that we plant are the seeds that come from the Word of God. It's a spiritual process, but it's the same as a physical process. Don't expect fruit in your lives if you're not planting seeds. You don't look at your garden and think, oh, I'll just imagine that I'm going to get some tatties over there. No, if you want to grow tatties, you got to plant tatties. So this is about planting seeds in our lives so we can see fruit going on. Hallelujah. So I think, but I'm not sure. I think this may be the final week of my wee series about Joshua. Nunzi's going to be preaching next week, so I won't be. So in a fortnight, I'm not sure what I'm going to preach on. But hey, it's November, getting close to Christmas, so you never know. I might start my Christmas series early this week. Get a wee Christmas tree behind me, maybe, and start preaching my Christmas message. We'll see. But I want to cover something of real importance today. I mean, preaching the word is important any time. But I just think in the world and in the conditions that we are living under right now, I think this message is of extra relevance this morning. So I just want to set the scene a little bit for what the message is going to be about today. Yesterday morning, I was flicking through the BBC News website. Yeah, I know, it was a mistake. I should have known better. I always regret it when I go there. But I was looking through the media section, looking at the headlines in the daily papers, and there was a headline in a Scottish daily newspaper yesterday, and the headline was, "Be afraid. Be very afraid." And it was kind of linking COVID with Halloween. But it was what a stark headline. Be afraid. Be very afraid. And yesterday, I also had a breakfast with a good pastor friend of mine. Before the COVID lockdown, we used to meet regularly with another pastor, have a minister's breakfast. So we're starting to do that again. And he was being very honest. And he was sharing with me that at certain times in the recent past, he had been starting to feel a bit of fear. And I told you, I think it was in the first week of this wee series about Joshua, about some of the fears I had at the start of lockdown. I was also thinking this week, I told a friend of mine a couple of months ago that I was travelling to Northern Ireland for some work. And he said, "Oh, Vic, I'm really glad you're going on the ferry because it is far too dangerous to fly just now." And he was saying he was just too afraid to get in an aeroplane, to go to flying. And, I mean, he was not too keen for me to go on the ferry either. He was in that amount of fear. Well, I didn't tell him I was flying to London the next week. But what I want to talk about today is fear. Well, I don't want to concentrate on that too much. I want to look at what it is and how we get rid of it. But fear is something that is always around us. But it seems to be heightened just now, especially in the media. I mean, that headline, "Be afraid, be very afraid." I mean, that's just installing fear into people. And there's fear, I see it all the time, there's fear in people out in public. And you know what? There is, I know there is fear in church and in Christians. So what is fear? What is the answer to fear? Well, I'm just going to be skimming the surface this morning, but I hope to give you a little bit of revelation that I've had this week about where fear comes from, and therefore a way of removing fear. Amen. And I'm going to use the example of Joshua, hopefully, to share that with you. So go with me to Numbers 14. And 8 and 9. And this is Joshua speaking. They'd been out, you know the story, the account. They'd been out, the 12 spies, they'd spied out the land. They'd done what Moses asked them to do, to go and look. And then they'd all come back with that little bit extra that Moses hadn't asked for, their opinions and evil reports. But now this is Joshua speaking. And let's read from verse 7, actually. "And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying," this is Joshua and Caleb, actually, "the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." And then everybody went nuts, basically, is my interpretation of what happens next. But that's what Joshua was saying. And let's see what else Joshua says. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. What does he say in verse 9? Actually, this is the Lord speaking to Joshua. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." That was the Lord speaking to Joshua. Don't rebel. Don't fear the people. Fear them not. Be not afraid. Joshua and the Lord speaking there. All pretty self-explanatory. We shouldn't be living in fear. That's what Joshua's saying, what the Lord's saying. Back then and now. Do not be afraid. So it's possible. But I also want to look at that word dismayed. Do not be dismayed is an important statement. It's the Hebrew word, excuse my pronunciation, guys, kothath. That means to prostrate, hence to break down by violence or confusion or fear. So the Lord's saying we should not miss doing something through fear. That is what the word dismay means in this context. Don't fall or fail through fear. And that's the big problem, the danger of fear. Fear can cause us to stop doing things, you know, stop us getting into a plane. Fear can stop us, can make us fail in our ministry or in our schools or in our careers or whatever. If we're scared of something, in fear of something, we're less likely to do it. So just not even try, full stop. But if we're in fear and we're trying to do things and that's preying on our mind, it's likely that we'll fail. We will fall. What's they're saying here? What's Joshua and the Lord saying? Don't stop entering the promised land because of fear. Don't miss out on the milk and honey because of fear. Fear is the issue, he's saying. Fear is making people miss out on blessings. That was true back then. And you know what, guys? It is true today for us as born-again believers. Fear can lead to us missing out. Missing out of blessings. Joshua here is so different from the other spies. Well, apart from Caleb, obviously. Joshua, so different. What are the other spies saying in disagreement to Joshua? Well, let's look at Numbers 13. And 31 to 33. But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature." What, all of them? Do you not see old men? Do you not see little kiddies? "All the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." They were afraid. They were in fear. They were scared by what they saw. But so what's the difference between Joshua and Caleb and these spies? Here's what I think. Bottom line, big takeaway from today. Big takeaway from me from this week. Joshua and Caleb trusted God. Joshua and Caleb believed what God had said. "The promised land is yours. I have given it to you. Go, place your feet upon it. Wherever you put your feet, that's yours. You've got it. Receive that goodness. I'm always with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Go on, take it. It's yours." It's what God was saying to them. And Joshua and Caleb trusted that. Trusted God. Trusted and knew what he had said was true. That was the difference. They had trust in what God had said over what they were seeing. The other spies saw the giants. So did Joshua and Caleb. They all saw the giants. They all saw the walls. They all saw the problems. But the other spies trusted in their eyes and ears more than in what God had said. And they ended up in fear. Guys, it was a trust issue. Now, talking about fear and trying to get rid of fear, and I'm saying it's a trust issue. "There will be those among you who know your word, who will be shouting a scripture at the screen right now." I'm surprised no one's typed it in the comments yet. 1 John 4 verse 18, Vic. 1 John 4 verse 18, people will be shouting at the screen. And yes, I know that verse. 1 John 4 verse 18. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." This verse is in the context of what I call the love chapter, 1 John 4. All about God's love towards us, and that's how we can have love toward him. But he loved us first. It's all about God's love. And this verse is saying, it is love that casts out fear, not trust, like Vic's saying. Look, Vic, it's not about trusting God. It's his love that casts out all fear. Not some fear, but fear. Not a bit of fear, but fear. It can't be just. It's God that does it. It's His love that gets rid of fear. Well, it's not that easy, I'm afraid. Think about this. I tell you guys, probably week after week, that the Word is the agent for lasting and permanent change in your life. Yes, but not if this Word just sits on your coffee table unopened, or sits on your bedside table unopened, or dare I say is open for a 10-minute little devotion at the start of each day. No, that's not enough. You need to read the Word, you need to meditate on the Word, you need to understand it, you need to eat it, devour it, know it, believe it, trust it, obey it. Then, based on what you know, based on the truth that you know, based on having epinosis knowledge of it, that will change your life. The Word has the potential to change your life. In the same way that I'm saying God's love has the potential to remove fear. Let's go back to Joshua. Why did Joshua trust God? Why did Joshua trust God? I'll tell you why. Because Joshua and God were in a covenant relationship. And Joshua knew that as part of that relationship, actually as part of just being part of creation, that God loved him. God wanted the best for him. And God had provided the best for him out of his love. God loved him. Joshua knew that, and because of that, he trusted God, trusted what God had said, trusted what God will provide. And in that sense, in that context, that is why God's love cast fear out of Joshua. It wasn't God's love of itself. Listen very carefully to what I'm trying to say here. God loved Joshua, yes? Yeah. God loved Caleb. Yes. Listen to this. God loved the other 10 spies as well. God's love was pouring down on all 12 of them. God had told all 12 of them that he loved them. God had actually shown, although some of them hadn't seen it, all 12 of them, that he loved them. But Joshua and Caleb weren't in fear. The other 10 spies were in fear, even while in the love of God. Why? Because Joshua and Caleb trusted God as they knew and were secure in God's love. And that cast out fear. Their understanding of his love and their subsequent thoughts and motives and actions, that is what cast out fear. The spies just did not trust God. They trusted their carnal senses as to what they saw. That is what they trusted, and they were living in fear. And what did it lead to? It actually did lead to physical death, but it led to spiritual death as well, in the terms that they didn't get the blessings. Can you see that? So the best way for me to describe fear, the way I'm starting to understand fear, to rationalize fear, is that it is a lack of trust in God. Trust in what he has said, trust in what he has done, through and because of his love. But it's a trust issue. It's a trust issue in that love. In whatever area we have fear, I'm starting to believe, I really think, it comes back to a lack of trust. I told you about it, I don't like going over it again, but when I was in that fear right at the start of the start of lockdown, that potential economic situation, I was not trusting in God as my provider, not trusting in him as Jehovah Jireh. Not trusting what he already said to me about work and provision, what he had said and I had written down in the back of my Bible and I've been reading since Friday the 30th of May 2014. What I had been trusting in, when everything was going along swimmingly. I truly believe in this instance, for me, this fear came from a lack of trust. And you could take it back to a lack of understanding in the love of God, that in his love for me, he was my provider. He is my provider, and he will forever be my provider. It was a lack of trust in that love, in that provision, that I believe was leading to my fear. Many of you will know, I've preached about it a number of times, that I used to be afraid of flying. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. Well, it was not so much a fear of flying. It was a fear of hitting the ground at a really fast speed while I was still in the aeroplane. That's what I was not keen on. And then one day, I got out of the plane and I realised I wasn't afraid. I seemed to have forgotten my fear. I got down onto the runway. I was trying to think when it was. I think it was either Gatwick or Paris. I can't remember. But I remember thinking and feeling as I came down onto that runway, that was a great flight. I really enjoyed that. I suddenly realised I'd had no fear. So I was trying to analyse that yesterday while I was getting ready for this message. Why was I scared of flying? You know what, guys? I wasn't scared of flying. I was scared of dying. But why? I was a Christian. Why should death be a fear if I believe I'm going to go to eternity in heaven with the Lord? What's there to fear in that? I also believe that the Lord had a plan for me in my ministry and in my business. And no part of that plan involved a premature death in a plane crash. It couldn't have been, because I've got so many things to do. I couldn't have been in a crash. Too many things to do, too many successes to be part of, too much abundance and prosperity to inhabit. So I think I was not trusting 100% in his plan. If I had been in trust, then flying would not have been an issue, as my plan did not involve a plane crash. When I was afraid of flying, had God stopped to love me maybe? Had he stopped loving me? Was I maybe not in his love anymore? No, of course not. He always loved me. Before I was born again, before I was a believer, once I was a believer, and for eternity, he has, he is, and he will love me. He is the God of love, and it's a perfect love. But perfect love casts out fear, we said. Yeah, but only if you understand that love. His love doesn't change. So it can't be solely his love that casts out fear. It has to be an understanding of it. It has to be a living in it. And through that, you come into faith, you come into trust, you come into obedience. And that is what gets rid of fear. It is our response to his love in whatever area we're talking about that determines if we are in fear or in trust. Once again, we choose. Oh, are you saying I'm choosing to live in fear? Vic, no, not consciously. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you choose what to put your faith in. You choose what to put your trust in. So what are you trusting this morning? What the world tells you, what the headlines in the newspaper tell you, what you see, hear and feel, things in the carnal realm, or are you trusting what God has said and what God is saying to you? Trusting what the word declares and trusting that he really does love you. And because he loves you, he's provided healing for you. And because he loves you, he's provided prosperity and abundance for you. And because he loves you, he's accepted you into your family. Because he loves you, he's adopted you as a son. Yes, all you ladies and girls out there, you have been adopted as sons as well because he loves you. And as a son, under that Jewish tradition, an adopted son, you have that right to full inheritance of everything that he has for you. Are you trusting in that? That abundance and prosperity that is coming out of his love for you. Do you agree that God is a God of love and his love is perfect? Yes. Well, why do some of us still have fears then. And I know some of you have, because I've heard you speaking of this. I've even had some conversations with some of you about this. I know some of you have fears about your health and the health of your family. I know some of you have fears about lack. I know some of you have fear of flying. Now, I'm not saying that to condemn you and pick anyone out. I'm just pointing out current facts in your life. While at the same time, God loves you with his perfect love. Why do we have fears sometimes when his love is perfect and he loves us? Why did my pastor friend yesterday admit to having fears if God loves him with a perfect love? It is our level of understanding of that love and our trust or lack of trust in what God has said through his love that counts. That is the key. In his perfect love, he wants above all things for you to live in health and prosperity. In his perfect love, he has already provided all spiritual blessings for you. In his perfect love, he has provided all you need for life and godliness. In his perfect love, he has provided you with sozo. Do you believe that? Do you understand that? Do you trust him in that, in whatever area of your life you've got concerns or worries or fears or issues at the moment? I'm going to stop using the word you. If we have any fear in our lives right now, if we have any fear of anything, and when I say fear, I mean anxiety, concerns. And you know what, guys, if you're sitting there listening to me and thinking, I've got no fear, no anxiety, no concerns, nothing, you know what, I probably don't believe you. I think I'm speaking to every single one of us here. When I say, if we have any fear, we do not trust God fully in that area. Because we do not fully understand his perfect love and his provision in that area. Now, I'm not saying this to condemn any one of you. I'm using the word we. I have my struggles. I'm not perfect. I'm definitely not going to put my hand up and say I have got no fears, no anxieties, no concerns. No way. I am not saying this to condemn anyone. I'm saying this to set you free. Because this truth is powerful. This truth is so powerful. Trusting in his love and what he has said and done because of that love will remove fear from our lives. Let me say that again. Trusting in his love and what he has said and done because of and through his love will remove fear from our lives. I think fear can be expressed as the opposite of trust. That's really speaking to me just now. I hope it is blessing you. I hope it is speaking to you. I hope it is helping you understand why there may be fear in your life. I've heard it said, and I've seen a comment as well, that fear is the opposite of faith. And I get that, absolutely. I get that. But I think in this context, that's the same thing as trust. Are you trusting in God? Do you have faith in God? Are you trusting he's provided that provision? Do you have faith he's trusted that he's provided that provision? Do you believe he has provided that provision? It's removal of unbelief, in other words. For me, where I am right now, the best way I can rationalize fear and understand fear and think about fear is that it is a lack of trust in God and what he has said. And that's what I'm going to use to work on certain areas of my life. I think this could be a really powerful tool to use in our lives. What am I afraid of today? What are you afraid of today? What am I in fear of? What are you in fear of? Is it failing health? Is it that pain that you've got right now? Is it some lack or some want or some poverty? Is it rejection? Is it depression? Is it low self-worth? Is it lack of meaning? Is it lack of direction? Is it fear of losing your job? What's going on with your education? In the world we are in today, and under the current conditions, you are being given the opportunity to be in fear every day. Just open your eyes. Get up in the morning. Get out of bed in the morning. Look at the world around us. You're going to have an opportunity to live in fear or live in trust. Here's what to do. That fear, name it, define it, identify it. Don't own it. Don't take it on and empower it. But don't stick your head in the sand. Recognise it as a fact in your life right now. Take time out, go for a walk, ask the Lord, meditate. What am I in fear of? What's that fear? What is at the root of that issue, that problem? Define that fear. And then see what the Word says about it. I mean, you knew what was going to come to that, guys. You knew where I'm heading. See what the Word says about it. See what God has already said. And read it. And read it. And read it. Meditate on it. Write it on cards. Carrying them about. Feast upon them. Personalise those scriptures. Carry them with you. 1 John 4 verse 10. Herein is love. Not that Vic loved God, but that he loved Vic and sent his son to be the propitiation for Vic's sins. That's 1 John 4 verse 10. 3 John 2. Vic, my beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He wants our mind to prosper, to be healthy. Mental health should not be an issue for any one of us. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward Vic, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give Vic an expected end. And I could go on and on. Write them down. Carry them around in your back pocket. Stick them on your walls. Stick them on your mirror. Stick them somewhere you will see each and every day. Stick them on your fridge. Amen. Focus on them until they are in your heart and part of your core belief system. Stick with them until you change those thought patterns from horrible, nasty patterns to good, lovely patterns. Get them into you. Be in them until you believe them, understand them, and trust what God has said. You could say have faith in what God has said, but I just like that word, trust. That word trust is speaking to me at the moment. Get into them until you trust them and trust what God has said and trust him. And whatever area in your life that is, fear will flee once you trust. Jesus came to bring us life and life in abundance. Above all things, God wants us to live in health and prosperity. God does not want us to have fear in our lives. If we use his word and we believe what we read about him in his word, learn about his love for us, and through that love, what he has done, that will lead us into trust and lead us away from fear. Amen. I hope that spoke to you this morning. It's really speaking to me right now. It's a trust issue, guys. I really see it as a trust issue. What are we trusting in? Him or out there? Him or newspapers? Him or what we see and hear? Joshua and Caleb trusted him. He had already said, the promised land is there, the promised land is yours, go and get it, and I'll never leave you or forsake you. There's no need to fear. If we trust, there's one thing about his love. In his love, he has provided for us the indwelling Holy Spirit who will never leave us nor forsake us. If we trust in that, far less chance of fear being in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah.